Welcome to Thursday, and that means another installment of Perspectives on WFSU-FM. Hope your week's been good to you so far, and that the latter part of the week will be just as wonderful. And before we get underway, reminder, hey, you're always invited to be part of the proceedings via phone and email at 414-1234, the local number, and 800-926-8809 if it's long distance. But that is such old school technology. It is almost into the area of obsolescence, because now we have total interconnectivity through the wonders of modern electronics. We can do things like email to perspectives at WFSU.org, or you can send a tweet to at WFSU Perspective, and pretty soon it'll be Snapchat and Instagram and 18,000 other kinds of platforms that we won't even be able to keep track of. And by the time we give you the long list, the show will be over and it'll be time to go home. But we're not quite to that point yet. We have a great show lined up today, though, because we're going to be talking about technology and some of the ways it's actually making our lives more productive, making it better, more interesting. And adding to that conversation is going to be an event that is happening here in Tallahassee at the Gus Turnbull Center at Florida State University on April 2nd. It is the 8th annual Tal Tech Alliance Tech Expo, and some of the guiding lights of that are here with us today on Perspectives. And we're going to say first hi to Amanda Cuff, FSU College of Communications alum, works as Director of Marketing and Events for Sagetti USA, and is the Administrative Director and Expo Chair for the Tal Tech Alliance, and the second Tech Expo you have spearheaded out of a total of 8. So, wow, we have to be nice to you today, right?
Thank you so much. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for coming in. And we also have Maureen Burns to say hi to, holding the chair position of Tal Tech Alliance, a longtime Tallahassee resident, proud FSU grad, and database administrator at Capital Health Plan. You got to put up with John and all those guys over there then, right?
I do. They're wonderful people to work with.
They're absolutely wonderful.
That's a very
people.
Political answer.
I like that, Maureen.
Been there for 17 years.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So you're almost a CHP a beginner then, huh?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah. Went back there about, 30 years or something? Should be coming up on a big anniversary, I think.
35 in a couple years.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Well, we also have an old broadcast, not that old in terms of years, but in terms of experience and expertise.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, we'll find out pretty soon, won't we? Kevin Saunders, co-owner of Codagenics. An actual Tallahassee native?
That's right. North Florida Christian. Spent my time on the playground out there. Born at Tallahassee Memorial Hospital in 1969.
Oh, my gosh. That's a total rarity, almost an endangered species. But went out and did the running around the country, the nomadic thing for broadcast, and wound up back home, huh?
That's right. Went out and, the one thing about radio that I enjoyed was the community aspect of it and being able to kind of put myself back in the community. The more I did that, the more I realized I love Tallahassee. And as you know, it's a real nomadic experience in radio. So decided to move back to Tallahassee and start a company instead of going back into radio.
Somehow I can't blame you. I don't know.
Come aboard, Tom. We're looking.
Well, Kevin, you're also on the Tal Tech Alliance Executive Committee and one of the Tech Expo planners. So, my gosh, a lot of things to talk about here this year. The 8th annual, as we said, at the outset there on April 2nd over at the Turnbull Center. And for most of the Tech Expos in the past, it has been pretty much focused, again, on the, I don't want to say geekoids, that is almost a pejorative term, but the folks who are very, very much into new technology. They can figure out how to reconfigure software and networks and all that sort. You guys, Maureen, are branching out this year, though, aren't you?
We are. We're going to have a management track. We have an entrepreneur track. We also have a Scrum course that we're one of our board members, Trey Williams, is going to be teaching, so you can earn some PMI credits.
What is a Scrum course, if I might ask?
Scrum is a way of developing software that helps with communication and project management, and it's an iterative process. It makes you communicate with your users and your developers in a way that everybody knows what's going on all the time, and there's no surprises, and it makes things get done very fast.
Okay, well, I'm an oldie. I remember something called Lotus Notes about 5,000 years ago that kind of said the same thing. It can keep all of your project people on track, even if they are far flung in different areas and different work arenas and all that sort of thing. I take it this is a couple steps up from that, right?
It is. It's more of a over process rather than a program itself. It's just a way of doing things, and it can encompass not just software but all kinds of projects. If they're really complex, it breaks it down into small tasks and makes it very easy to advance.
A form of almost project control automation, it sounds kind of like, sort of.
Absolutely, yes.
God, does that scare you, Amanda?
Just a little bit. Also, Project Management Institute, through the Scrum Track, will award the attendees 7.5 professional development units, which I hear is very expensive typically, and you have to travel outside of town to get that many units. So that's why we thought putting it at Expo would be a great way to get a lot of project managers their hours, their credit hours that they need to keep their certification.
Wow. Well, as long as we're talking about instruction and students, and that's, you are open to students this year, right?
We are indeed. Last year, the conference was on May 8th. This year, we decided to move it up to April 2nd so that school is still in session and students can come for free. We are encouraging them to bring in their resumes, and we've told all the exhibitors that they are allowed to recruit students, and they are stoked about that. I've been getting calls and emails, and everyone is very excited to hire students from all the universities in this area, and especially STEM students, science, technology, engineering, and math.
And if I can comment on that, I mean, it's part of our mission is to try to keep talent in Tallahassee, right? So when we have all these students out there, we can have our companies out there finding the technology and finding solutions for their business. And they don't even have to be in the technology business anymore. I mean, technology, as we talked about earlier, you know, off air, it touches every single bit of business. So there's a lot of students at FSU that are very smart. Amanda's incredibly smart, which she's done with Taltech Expo, and hands down to her. But it's come a long way, and she's done an remarkable job these last couple of years. But there's so much talent at FSU, FAMU, ITT Tech.
TCC.
All around that. Why aren't we keeping that talent in Tallahassee? Let's do that, and let's get some of our business owners out there and talk to these kids.
Well, one of the things that had been put in place down at not too far from the Turnbull Center, just a couple blocks away in the Railroad Square area, is something called DOMI, which is an incubator where people can come and they can do startup businesses. They have a place, they have resources, they have networking capacity and interaction and all that. And these guys are going to be part of the show too, right?
They are indeed. So DOMI and Les have partnered up to sponsor our incubator room, which is basically the large conference room downstairs. We'll have exhibit booths for all the startups who want to participate either at DOMI or the JMI Institute, at FSU, as well as other startups in the area. So we're inviting all of them to apply and, you know, come showcase what they've been working on all year.
Okay. And when you say JMI, Amanda, you're talking about the James Moran Institute. James Madison Institute, which is something totally different.
Completely different.
Yeah. Okay. The whole idea of technology seems to have changed, though, from the founding of Taltech Alliance, which was really for people who had expertise in the technical fields themselves. Now it seems like you're branching out to the point where someone comes with a problem.
That's right.
I need this for my business or my organization, and I don't know about this stuff. Can you guys help me, or can you put me in the direction of someone who can help me?
And that's exactly right. I mean, that's what a lot of the entrepreneurs are doing now is, you know, we're looking at situations and, you know, with our company, we look at our clients, try to figure out what they're trying to overcome. It's not a situation where you're breaking and fixing computers anymore. Really, you're trying to solve problems. And it has become that kind of atmosphere in technology that every business has some sort of challenge that they have to overcome, right? Whether it be the roofer or whether it be the plumber. Technology touches every single bit of that. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen some of the plumber things they do now with the little cameras on the – and they stick it down through your toilet and they can look through it. That's all technology that's touching that environment. But how do they network that in, and how do they be able to look at that real time, maybe back at the office, to save themselves a little bit of time? So there's so many aspects, and there's so many businesses out there that technology touches, that we feel like this is going to be a great showcase, not only coming up but in the future for these people, so that they can find those solutions.
Okay. Maureen, as far as the whole Taltech Alliance thing, for the people who are not up on what you guys are and what you do and all that outside of the Tech Expo, give us a little thumbnail of what the organization's all about.
We're basically an alliance of businesses, academic centers, entrepreneurs, and just individuals in the area that are interested in technology and innovation. And we're focused on the Capital Region. And, you know, we come from all walks of life. And, you know, we get together, we network, we learn things. That's Taltech.
Okay. A regular meeting, too, as I understand it, right?
Yes. We have monthly meetings, usually the third Wednesday of every month.
And generally at Capital City Country Club?
That's right.
Best fried chicken in town.
Yeah, well, that's exactly – I mean, technology does not live on electrons alone now. Come on.
That's right. That's right. That's the only thing I think technology shouldn't touch is fried chicken.
Yeah.
Although I did hear at the 3D printing symposium that they are creating lab meat now through 3D printers, which is kind of weird.
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Yes.
Don't print me my fried chicken. I don't want printed fried chicken.
Yeah, I know that 3D printing has gone into incredible advances beyond which people could not have even imagined just 3 or 4 years ago. But no, I don't think so.
Well, speaking about 3D printing, our raffle prize at the end of the conference are 3D printing pens. It's called 3Doodler, excuse me, is the name of the pen. It's awesome, and it's looks just like a pen, and you can create whatever you want with it, 3D figure.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know that this conference is also going to be the day after the grand opening for Making Awesome, which has also now been relocated out into the Railroad Square area. So Dave Brightbill and those folks are going to be showing off their new digs the day before the April 2nd Tech Expo takes place. So I think we're having yet another technological convergence of some kind here. I don't know.
Digitech is also the day before Tech Expo, and they're going to be in the Turnbull Center as well.
Wow. Okay. 414-1234 if you'd like to hop on Perspectives and talk to some of the organizers behind the upcoming Tech Expo at the FSU Turnbull Center happening on April 2nd. And we might even have an inducement for you to give us a call in a little bit. That'll be coming up right after the break, right here on Perspectives. Yes, a never-ending battle with modern technology, and we're losing. I can tell. Welcome back to Perspectives on WFSU-FM in advance of the April 2nd Tech Expo presented by the Taltech Alliance at the Turnbull Center. 8:30 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. Still time, I believe, to register and to take part in that. We have Amanda Cuff and Maureen Burns and Kevin Saunders here with us. Just in case you're joining us, how would folks go about signing up and say, hey, I'd like to check that out. I'd like to go. What do I do?
Right. Well, the registration link is on our website. It's taltechexpo.com, T-A-L-T-E-C-H, expo.com.
Okay. That we have. And this year, not only for the folks who are into technology, but also the people, more specifically, who are not, who come with the problems, who come with the challenges, who say, golly, how do I make this happen? Because I do not have a clue. And the technology is advancing so quickly. What is it? Every 18 months now, we're doubling the amount of information that's available.
Yeah, and that's been the goal: make it bigger or make it smaller and make it faster, right? And you know, companies like Intel have been doing that for the last 30, 40 years. That's their whole goal: is everything's got to be smaller, use less energy, and yet be able to process higher amounts of speed. What is it? Our cell phones have more capability than the first rocket that we sent up to the moon?
Our cars do, from what I understand. Yeah. A buddy of mine who was a GM Master Tech for many years said that the average Toyota Corolla, the major computer system in that is a factor of at least 10 or 20 times what was on Apollo 13.
That's amazing. Wow. Just absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, and we now have everything that has gone more to mobile, has gone to telephone-based technology, as opposed to certainly back in the days of the dinosaurs, the mainframe, and then we moved to desktops and then to laptops, and now it's in our pockets.
Well, and it's almost moved back to that mainframe, because now you have the cloud that, you know, it's here, whether you want to talk about the cloud being here or not, but with the mainframes and the big giant servers out there that your phones are connecting to. And I think that probably gets into the security aspect that a lot of people are interested in too, which I know we have a spot from IBM, I think, on security coming up at the expo. So it's a definitely interesting world that we're climbing ourselves into. You know it as radio. As a public person, you're a public person, and you understand that. I think what a lot of people don't understand is the private citizens with the social media and the access to all of these devices that they're using. They're all becoming public people very slowly, and we're seeing that, and they don't know how to handle it.
What we see that particularly when it comes to social media, things like – Maureen, I think you were involved with some things about it, whether it's unwise Facebook postings or things of that sort that can come back to, you know, haunt you in later life. What kind of advice can – you give someone who maybe falls into some of these traps that, oh, gee, it was just me and some friends. I'll put it on my page. You know, no one else will know. I mean, come on.
Leave your phone at home. We have a lot of partners in Taltech that help with those kind of situations. And, you know, reputation management is now something that we have to worry about because of the social pervasiveness of social media. In this day and age. So, you know, some of our vendors and partners now have to have a whole side of their business that takes care of that kind of thing.
And at the same time, Amanda, you get into the flip side of that. We're seeing it with a certain potential presidential candidate right now that instead of putting too much stuff out, you may be holding too much stuff back.
Exactly. You have to know a right balance. We actually, one of our management track topics is digital marketing. So, you know, free tools on how to basically promote your company, promote yourself. And, you know, branding is everything nowadays. So I'm very excited for that. Being a marketing person, I am very excited to hear about that track if I get, you know, the chance to sit down for an hour.
Yeah, how are we doing? We have, I know, being such a political capital as we are, you have multiple firms out there that can give you terrific information and advice and counsel on how to get elected or how to position a public policy issue for discussion or an upcoming vote or that sort of thing. Do you also hook into those kinds of people? So here we have this technology. We have these mechanisms to get our message out. But not only how do we do that best, but what are some ethical considerations and legal considerations and that sort of thing?
Of course. Well, I mean, Rick Oppenheim, who's been with Taltech since the beginning, he's helped us so much with all our social media. And, you know, he's an expert at what he does, you know, what we should say, what we shouldn't. We also have Salter Mitchell. They are a new member, and they're also speaking at Tech Expo. And Uber Operations actually had a presentation at Taltech 2 months ago where their concern was mostly, you know, when you use external apps and they ask, can we connect to your friends? Can we see your information? And a lot of people don't read the fine print. And really, in the fine print, you'll see it says, we're going to, you know, contact all your people. We're going to send messages to all your friends on Facebook. And you really have to make sure that you're not just pressing OK just because you're being hasty and you want to get, you know, to your Twitter or whatnot.
How much is that a problem now, particularly on commercial websites and other connections where you, by accepting one thing, you're accepting multiple layers of things, many of which you probably don't want.
Well, you know, you remember when you used to download software when we were back on Windows 98 a long time ago, and people would just download software and it had all that jargon and you had to read through the whole thing and there was three pages of, well, most people just said accept, accept, accept. Well, I think it's the same concept on the phone, is that, oh, yeah, well, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. You just keep hitting the number. You have to pay attention to what those permissions are. And if you don't, then, yeah, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble, you know, the security aspect of it, because now you're talking about networks. So if I can connect to a network with my phone and it's not a secure network and it has access to databases that people don't want me to have access to, I'm still on that network, and if I can figure out a way to get there, I'm going to do it. You know, you look back at the Sony situation a few months ago. People always say that, you know, the hackers are just trying to disrupt, and well, no, that's not the case. I mean, these people are third world countries that don't understand how to do business the way we do in the United States. They're not just looking at, you know, people's credit card numbers and things like that. They're trying to figure out business operations. Video production. How do we make things better in our country? And stealing that information and stealing secrets from our businesses. So it's not just the hacker anymore that's just trying to disrupt stuff. It's really, it's got an end point to it now.
Or the overweight 14-year-old kid in a basement somewhere.
That's right. That's right. It's not that anymore. It's and the really scary thing about it, these are actual governments telling their people what to do and how to hack. So there is no government regulation on that in other countries where we have that here. Stricter regulations these days, by the way, but it is. It's becoming a really strange world.
Amanda Cuff, you have a book there. Tell us about that tome that's in front of you there.
Okay. Well, this book is by Cecily Summers. She is our keynote, and she's a futurist. And the book is titled Think Like a Futurist, Know What Changes, What Doesn't, and What's Next. So basically, she'll be discussing, you know, how to future-proof your business, make sure you keep up with the trends and not fall behind because, you know, Tech Expo, our theme is evolve. So if you do not evolve with technology, then you're going to be held back. And, you know, that's just demise to your business and I guess yourself as well.
Well, we have an inducement for you to join the conversation at 414-1234. Or if it is long distance from you to us, it's 800-926-8809. If you are the next caller to Perspectives, Amanda would be more than happy to pass that book along to you so you too can think like a futurist. I don't even know what I'm having for lunch today. I can't imagine trying to predict what the next, you know, tech trend is going to be. Because it even changes hour to hour if, you know, what's trending on Twitter.
That's right.
I mean, in 1/2 hour, it's going to be something totally different from what we thought it was going to be. So that's...
Let's all hashtag Tech Expo, please, and get that trending on Twitter. That would be great.
That's got some people confused, though. The entire concept of hashtagging, which has become just part and parcel of the way we now communicate. But for folks who maybe are coming in at the tail end of this, they're going, what in the name of God is a hashtag and how does it hurt or help?
And that's why we need to evolve.
Ah.
Right, because I still call it pound. I don't understand.
Hashtags basically make anything you write searchable.
That's right.
Because you can start your own line of thought essentially online and then have other people jump in on it and contribute to that to the exclusion of other things. So it's not like the old, here I pull up something on Google and I'm presented with 1.379 million pages of information. And wow. I'm only going to look at the first two or three pages before I become totally bored and go off and do something else again.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, for those folks who have never been to a tech expo, what can they expect? Do you want to give us a 30,000-foot view there, Maureen?
Okay. We will have a 8 o'clock in the morning keynote speaker from IBM who's going to give us an overview on building strategic defense against the global threat landscape, which is a fun breakfast topic. And then we have...
You're going to die. More pancakes.
And then we will have three tracks that our attendees can take their pick from. We will have a technology track, an entrepreneur track, and a management track. And we'll have three speakers in each track throughout the day. We will have a lunchtime keynote speaker who is Cecily Summers, the author of Think Like a Futurist. And then we will have an after party after all the tracks and keynote speakers are done at Madison Social. So we can network and...
And we'll need that after party, I think.
Certainly the organizers of Tech Expo will. Yeah.
I'll need it more than anyone else.
Well, what about the vendors? You had mentioned that, Amanda, that you have a whole bunch of folks who are going to be participating from the lining up of booths and having all manner of different organizations and even individuals there with their wares and services.
Of course. Well, you know, I think all of us here are exhibiting. Sajeti will be there. Capital Health will be there. Most of our members are interested in signing up. So we have a lot of different exhibitors in town. We also have the chamber. We're working closely with the chamber. So they'll be there, as well as My Florida Marketplace. So if, you know, a lot of people are interested in doing business with the state. So I think his name is, I think it's Eric Swanson. He'll be there to answer any questions. So we're excited about that.
Where we forget sometimes that in the midst of all of this big push towards more entrepreneurship and private enterprise and all that, we remain the governmental focus of the entire state of Florida. And there's still a lot of business to be done on the state. And I imagine with the multiplicity of agencies we have, all of which with now a growing need to communicate together, that has got to remain to be a huge market.
And it's growing faster and faster because they're all looking for solutions. You know, they might see other states out there that have implemented certain solutions and they're like, well, why can't we do it that way? It's like you said, everything's changing within 30 minutes. So you have to stay on top of technology and be able to give that information to whether it be the state of Florida, the city of Tallahassee, Leon County School Board. I mean, there are so many government agencies just in this area that we can help and be able to make them more efficient, which is better for the entire community. And I think that's part of the goal of Taltech.
Yeah, that is Taltech's mission, is to unite government, education, and business to create opportunity, foster business growth, and promote Tallahassee as a source of technology innovation. So I feel like with Tech Expo, that's exactly what we're doing.
Is it possible to go to an event like this? So I'm just wondering, and you're taking notes either on your phone or old-fashioned paper and pencil, and actually gathering enough information to say, oh, I see a niche. I see I could build a business out of this. Is that even possible, Maureen?
Oh, I believe so. Absolutely. There's just so many avenues to explore in technology, and all of the presenters that we have are just giving us, you know, a little bit that we can then grow with. So,
And not only that, but I think, you know, I look back at our business. We started actually 8 years ago today. 8 years ago next week, sorry. And when we first got into it, we were what we'd call a break and fix company. You know, you got the guy out there, his computer gets a virus, and they call the guy up to come fix it. That just wasn't good enough at one point, you know. And once we started getting to be able to what we call managed services and actually monitor machines and understand from a central location where all of our clients are going, what kind of viruses they're getting, and not have to go on site anymore, it changed the world. So now, you know, I don't have to send a tech out, spend the gas. There's so many things that go into that where it just completely revolutionized our business, even as a tech company. So it's really interesting what's going on.
Yeah, so much can be done now remotely without having to dispatch anyone. In a previous life, I was with the telephone company that went from mechanical switching into digital electronic switching. And suddenly you had techs that could, well, dial. What's that? What's a dial? Could call in from their home.
And they went,
it made this weird noise, and it was really kind of funny. Look at an old black and white movie. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But they could get in remotely to the switches. They could reconfigure networks. They could repair problems, all of that kind of thing, without actually coming into the office.
I was watching this. They have a little drone that they're using in the Antarctica to try to measure the ice. You know, whether you believe in climate change or not, I'm not going to get into that. But what was really remarkable about this drone, these people would put it in the water in Antarctica, And then students from Rutgers University are the ones that are actually controlling that. So they're controlling it all the way from Rutgers, watching this drone go under the ice. And they do all the mapping. They do all of that stuff right at Rutgers. So – and then they just send the information to the scientists down in Antarctica so that they can go over it. It's absolutely amazing.
Let's go to the phones. George awaits on line one here on Perspectives. Hey, George. Hello, George. Make sure we're pushing the right button here. Technology. There we go. Hey, George.
There we go. You know, this sounds like something very interesting because in 17 months I'm done here at FSU, as you know. I'm just wondering, are they going to have demonstrations of equipment and such during the expo?
Yeah, I believe so, George. Let's find out. Let's see. Who's
equipment?
And particularly from if anyone would have a disability, say a visual challenge or something like that, will there be the capability of them still to get good stuff out of the conference?
Well, of course. I mean, you can listen into all of the presentations.
Well, and the vendors will also bring out a lot of stuff because, you know, they're going to want to show off what they have and what kind of solutions they have for companies or whoever they're trying to market to. So there will be a lot of stuff. I think a couple of years ago we had the 3D printer out there. I don't know if it'll be out there this year, but really incredible displays. And I don't really know what people are going to bring, but you will see a vast array of different technologies out there.
We'll also have students from Sale High School come demonstrate their bots. So they have these robots that are just great. They're amazing. They're huge and they do so much, and I can't believe these students are in high school.
Oh, the world-famous, critically acclaimed Octopirates, I believe, right?
That's right.
Well, right. we have that, George. And by the way, since you're the first one to give us a ring, would you like a book?
Well, yeah, that works. I'll get somebody to read it to me.
But, sure.
I can deal with that.
Okay. Well, since you are winding, you're winding down on this part of your life, but the second part of your life is about to begin in 17 months. We need you to start thinking like a futurist and stay on the line. We'll get the way to get that to you, and then we'll be right back here on Perspectives as we talk about the upcoming Tech Expo, April 2nd at the Turnbull Center. We'll be right back. We're back on a very technical kind of Perspectives today as we give a preview to the upcoming Taltech Alliance Tech Expo at the Turnbull Center, which is part of Florida State University, coming up April 2nd from 8:30 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. We have Amanda and Maureen and Kevin here with us about that. And George gets himself a book, and there is something else for folks who need to do stuff in Braille, too, right, Amanda?
Of course. Well, the raffle prize I was talking about earlier, the 3Doodler, they're actually being used a lot to create Braille and to write Braille since the dots are plastic. And they're, you know, it's very precise. So you can create little small dots, and they're plastic. So they're raised from the page you write on.
Amazing.
God, yeah, that's a lot less unwieldy than the old Braille typewriters, which, I mean, you really have to pound the things because you're making an impression in paper and to raise the dots, you know, for the Braille
exactly.
figures. So, wow. God. This sounds – as long as we're on the subject of futurism and that kind of thing. But as quickly as everything is evolving, you almost have to have now something like Tech Expo every 6 months rather than every year. I mean, really, because things are – how many new phones do we see being released in the course of a 12-month period
Well,
now?
If you can talk Amanda into that, I'm all for it.
I know. Please, don't give them any ideas.
You're right, though. I mean, new phones come out all the time with new stuff. I mean, I read a story today that 4 out of 5 people that have an Apple phone want the Apple Watch now. So I think we're going to see the watches coming out. And one of the really neat things about the phone is really it's going to become a portal, right? You're not going to use your phone to actually make phone calls anymore. A lot of people are using their car to make phone calls, and it's just a device that allows you to connect outward. I could really see a future and where that phone is nothing more than you just have something in your pocket, a little piece of information that just allows you to connect all your devices to.
Or your wrist.
Or your wrist, right. Well, and that's how they're doing it. You know, your wrist is just Bluetooth to your phone, and then you just talk through your watch. It's the same concept, but really that phone is becoming more of a portal or, if you will, kind of like a router, you know, that you see in your house. And that's basically what it's becoming.
Right.
One of the things that I saw, this was a National Geographic special not too terribly long ago, some of the returning wounded warriors from the Middle East who now have, of course, electronic prosthetics that are being controlled now by an implanted chip.
Yeah. And miraculous stuff going on there where they're being able to fulfill their lives the way they wanted to simply because of technology. And again, technology touches every single aspect of our lives these days.
Well, if a chip in my head can control my electronic leg, could it not also – now, serious now – could this not also interface with the network and hear, hello, Matrix?
Well, absolutely. And you know, one of the concerns with the cars, the smart cars that they're talking about now that drive themselves, what if you could hack into that? And what if you could stop that car? There's a lot of concern there. So security, big data, if you will, is definitely not just trending now, but will be trending in the future because we need to be able to secure those devices. It's something that will be always evolving just as technology, because you're going to have people out there that are going to learn how to penetrate those information systems. So we have to have the defenders out there that can, you know, stop that from happening.
Okay, so quick, Amanda, how many security experts are you going to have at Tech Expo?
So for breakfast, we'll have George Conde as a keynote. We'll also have Eduardo and Julie from Uber Operations. They'll be speaking about data and info security. In addition, we'll have Ed Wilson from CHP speaking about risk management. So is there any other one I'm forgetting?
Not in security, no.
All right. But you'd mentioned something, too, while we were off air momentarily there, Amanda, as far as networking capability. It, you know, do not discount the old traditional telephone network, because that has to interface with so much. That is an interconnect to a much greater degree probably than we realize. Everyone thinks everything is wireless, but it's not. There's still a huge amount of that is a part of a hardwired network, whether it's for internet access or even plain old telephone service, which there's still some left there. So we're going to have some folks who also can talk networking too, right?
Yeah, CenturyLink, and then they'll be out there, right?
Of course. Yeah, CenturyLink is our diamond sponsor. So they will be there, you know, and we're trying to since Maureen is a female and she is our chairwoman, and I'm planning Expo, we're really concentrating on this women in technology.
Bravo, bravo.
And Carmen Butler is great. She works for CenturyLink, and she is a strong woman in technology. So we are very proud of that.
Yeah, they've been supporting our Expo since the very beginning. So we're very thankful to everything that they've done. We're also going to have Velocity Online, which is another local networking group that's going to be out there. ASD is going to be there. We're going to have lots and lots of technology companies that are going to be able to talk about.
With the students coming in, and you had mentioned too, Ken, the emphasis on STEM, of course, science, technology, electronics, and all that. But I noticed that there is more and more of an emphasis being placed in lower and lower grades for those sorts of curriculum. So this is open now for college and university students, but I noticed that the push is going ever deeper into our school system.
It is. And did you want to talk about that? Or
yes, please.
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
Our another sponsor, our platinum sponsor, is Florida IT Career Alliance. That's mainly ran by College of Communication and Information at FSU and I believe at FAMU as well. And basically their initiative is to tap into students when they're still young and still indecisive. For example, middle school and high school students, if we can get them interested in coding and programming and learning all these computer languages at such a young age, we can meet the demand later on in life for all these IT positions. Because right now, I feel like there are a lot of positions in IT that need to be filled, and we just have such a high demand and do not have, you know, the supply for it. So what FITC is doing and what Taltech is doing is trying to tap in at a younger age so we can build that interest in technology and fill the demand for all the jobs that we have.
And I think it is a language. You know, when you talk about computer programming, it absolutely is a language. So as a child, it's a lot easier to pick up a language when you're younger than it is when you get into your 30s, 40s. I know I tried to take Spanish in college. I couldn't do it because it was hard. You know, it was a lot harder for me to memorize. I didn't have the Rosetta Stone back then, you know. So it really is time to get to the youth and let them know what's going on. And it's a universal language. So they'll be able to communicate with people on a universal level that we've never been able to do before. So really cool.
Yeah, and the ability, as you said, Kevin, to pick up on these things. Maureen, I was just thinking as Amanda was referencing you there, a little plug for a program that we're involved with here at WFSU called SciGirls. The Mag Lab is the one of the preeminent drivers of that. And not too terribly long ago, these are all middle and high school young ladies who are very much interested in STEM subjects. And one of their projects, which we had just a few blocks from here, was to develop their own game, their own electronic gaming technology.
Oh, wonderful.
They went berserk. I have never seen a more intense group of young people in my life. And they came up with some concepts that talk about being outside the box. These were, you know, totally off the constellation. They were coming up with games that, I mean, would have real commercial potential.
Wow.
People would want to play these things.
That's right.
I wanted to play them.
You're still playing it, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm still pretty much. It's right there on my phone. So I don't get anything done anymore. But their ability to grasp the concepts, the programming language, the
right.
different applications that they could import from different subjects and different spots on the internet, and using the native technology that was available there in the lab to come up with this in a matter of a few hours was just beyond astounding. So
now the question is, can they program a VCR?
If it's older than 10-year technology, probably not.
That's right. It's amazing. It's amazing. Technology has just changed everything. It's incredible. No more analog tape, right?
No more analog tape. Yeah, we were talking about that before we started this show too. Without digital editing, literally what you're listening to here on this air, as well as commercial radio stations and now TV, which is getting into all nonlinear digital editing kinds of technologies, would not be possible. We would simply not be able to bring you that kind of programming on a going forward basis. So thank you, technology.
Efficiency.
As long as it works.
Of course. And, you know, Skip Foster, the new publisher for the Tallahassee Democrat, will be present and speaking at Tech Expo. So he'll discuss how traditional print media has taken a shift, and it's shifted more towards, technical, everything digital. And you can see, you know, printed media has dwindled down from before because of technology. And it's, you know, it's actually gotten better.
Evolving.
Evolved. It's evolved and it's getting better.
Because we've seen what happened breaking down those barriers between, oh, this is print, this is broadcast. Those lines have been totally erased now. So you can go on our website and we produce print
right.
as well as video and audio at the same time. Same thing holds true with institutions like the Tallahassee Democrat, WCTV. All of these folks now are using these different platforms to bring you the news in a multiple of ways that weren't able to do before.
And I think a lot of people right now are following Twitter feeds to get news, you know. So it's just amazing where we get our news from and what the different media companies, whether you be in a radio medium or newspaper medium, are having to do, because it's really becoming a situation where it looks to me like the media companies are battling each other. It didn't in the old days where you used to go up against a radio station and have to beat the other DJ on the morning show. Now you have to beat the newspaper. Now you've got to beat the TV mm-hmm. station, and because everyone's trying to converge on all types of media, it's fun.
Yeah.
I love it.
And a steep learning curve too, Amanda.
Of course. And, you know, I don't make fun of me for saying this, but it's not until recently that I've really been starting to pay attention to news and local news, actually. And the reason is because I started following WCTV and Tallahassee Democrat on Facebook. So now it appears on my feed. I don't have to go to the site to look it up. I don't have to, you know, have a newspaper in front of me. I'm just on my feed. You know, I can see what Bobby had for dinner last night. And then I can see, you know, what's going on in Tallahassee.
Yeah. What does that do, however, to those folks who want to stand down, to disconnect for at least a little while?
Unlike the page.
Exactly.
I wish I could do that. I really do. Just go out in the woods for a couple of days and not even listen to it for a day.
We do that.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I think you have to sometimes.
How do you do that, Maureen?
You just go someplace where you don't have cell phone reception and enjoy it.
And key there was not having cell phone reception,
exactly.
Because if you have that reception, it's like, oh, it's like the old Blackberries, you know. You have to look at it and I'm going to check my email. No.
The old Crackberries. Well,
I wasn't going
to
go there.
to make us all much safer, the Florida legislature, even as we speak, is considering legislation that would make texting while driving a primary offense rather than secondary as it is right now. So if an officer catches you looking down towards the steering wheel while you're cruising by, you may not be in good shape.
Would they prove that?
Well, yeah, that's kind of scary because I can text from my car and my car will text itself. So.
And I have maps on my phone if I need to get somewhere.
Remember, you do have a wireless communication device, and that means that is interceptable.
Oh.
Is it doing anything other than just saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here? Is there a data stream coming off of your device? If so, that may be enough for probable cause. I don't know. They're working on that at the legislature right now because you're absolutely right. How can you tell? Well, no, officer, my gosh, you know, I was just changing a CD. Oh, that's right. We don't have CD players anymore. I'll come up with something. I wouldn't be texting. You're kidding? That would be dangerous.
That would be so 1990.
Yeah. Old school technology. Speaking of technology, that is what we're all about here on Perspectives this morning, the upcoming Taltech Tech Expo, April 2nd at the Turnbull Center from 8:30 until 4:30. If you're just joining us again, how do we find out more and to register for the event, Maureen?
We go to taltechexpo.com to register for the event, and it'll give you a breakdown of all of our tracks and speakers and the different levels at which you can register.
All right. And if you are an entrepreneur or a manager of a particular business or nonprofit organization or anyone else, and you are just looking for some way, how do we get from A to B? Don't muddy the water with all this technical stuff. I just want a solution to my problem. They also will be able to avail themselves of that too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Before we begin to wrap things up, just a few minutes remaining in this morning's perspectives. Still time for you if you'd like to give us a ring at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809 within the next couple of minutes. The future, since we were talking about one of your keynote speakers there, the Summers, Amanda, how do you see this evolving, particularly in this community?
The conference.
How the conference may be leading to that future that we're talking about, where technology really begins to remake everything that we know and do.
Well, I don't want to give away any trade secrets, but, you know, we're hoping to really cultivate almost a, you know, technology week where we'll have, you know, like something like Digitech or Hack FSU or you know, the Stacking Layer Symposium on 3D printing and Tech Expo, you know, just kind of put that all in one week and, you know, just really cultivate that sense of the technology community in this time, because you don't see how many people are interested in, you know, just making Tallahassee the hub for technology innovation.
I remember back in the day, you'll remember this, Kevin, when more than one half of the total computer power in Florida was located here in Tallahassee back in the mainframe days.
That's right. That's right. My co-partner used to work over at DCF and was managing those mainframes way back in the day. So it really has come a long way. But it's so neat with the cloud because it really has gone back to that mainframe where we're keeping all of this data, you know, on another server, not in your office. And – you know, you're relying on someone else to protect it and secure it. But
it's so much better.
And it's so much better. Yeah, and it is, though. I mean, you know, we tell a lot of our clients that, look, you've got to be able to assess your data. What data is critical? Don't flaunt that out there, right? But there's some data that is okay to flaunt out there. And maybe you have a hybrid environment where some of your services are cloud and some of your services are still, you know, right there on premise. So it's changing, but you got to realize people like Microsoft that have the 365 and the cloud out, they've got a lot more money than we do as small businesses.
Boy, that's for sure.
So
yeah.
They have the ability to secure it a little bit better than we do.
We can only hope.
We can only hope, yeah. Well, they got iRetina scans to get in there and take their server, whereas, you know, the small business down the road, somebody can break in their building, take their server, and they're out of business.
Sure, that's for sure. Final thoughts from you, Maureen Burns.
I think that this is going to be the best tech expo yet. I'm really looking forward to it. We've got all kinds of new and exciting programs that we're going to roll out.
And kudos to Amanda again. She puts on a great program. It was so successful last year. I'm really excited to see it this year. It's going to be great.
No pressure at all, Amanda.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't do it alone. So thank you both.
TalTechExpo.com if you want to check that out. And to Amanda Cuff, Maureen Burns, and Kevin Saunders, thanks so much for coming on Perspective.
Hey, thank you, Tom.
Perspective is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance today, Sawyer Vanderwerth doing the button pushing. Lydell Rawls handling the phone calls and online connections. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next Thursday, we're going to get a preview of our very first Tallahassee Music Week and what it means not only for audiences, but also for the area's musical scene heading into the future. That's coming up next week on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.